You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Don't sweat the technique. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Can't tell you how much I despise this new Yahoo email. It is awful. Awful.
Do you have to change to it? You can't keep the old format if you like?
Maybe I'll try to play with the settings, but it's tough. Delta announced that you can still sue. Allegedly, there are no strings attached to the $30K. Certainly, there's a motive behind the $30K.
Has to be.
They're not just doing that out of the goodness of their hearts. Hudson Flight only got $5K, says a texter. That's brutal.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Man.
Seems light. Maybe $30K is better than
I thought.
I
wonder how many of them sued.
Texter Bo, Texas Roadhouse is from Clarksville, Indiana. That's funny. No more TGIF in Humble, Brian. Only one is in the Dallas airport.
We'll see. We'll see. I'll report
back.
He's
going to take it to the bitter end.
Just like Bregman has 4 years.
To be honest, I'm not looking that closely as I drive by it, but I'll see tonight.
We'll be tonight, and we'll be getting text messages.
You must have not had a hankering for the potato skins.
No. It's right next to a Red Lobster. Haven't been there in a while either. But
Cheddar Bay Biscuits.
I do like the Cheddar Bay Biscuits. Those are elite.
Yeah, they rebranded. They brought in a new CEO. I know way too much about Red Lobster. A Saturday Night Live on Bad Take Boulevard for being on Sunday night is sassy work, says a texter. Another texter says BMAC alone on this one. It's literally called Saturday Night Live. So
apparently I'm not alone because the last texter agreed with me.
Yeah, but he didn't know that yet. Sundays are redonkulous, all capital letters.
Not sure what that means.
Super Bowl should be on Saturday night. Ugh, I don't think he likes Sunday night viewing. NFL used to play on Saturday, but the college games were outrating them, so the NFL moved to Sunday in 1947.
Maybe in 1947 they were outrating them. I wouldn't think that to be the case now.
No, well, said 47. Now,
no. I know, but I'm just saying, like, for the longest time, when's the last time you think a college game would have outranked an NFL game?
1947, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Bad Take Boulevard, whoever are the investors that are trying to bring an NHL team to New Orleans, Houston's a better market, Josh from Seabrook.
I didn't hear that they're trying to go to New Orleans.
It's kind of funny. Like,
doesn't seem like to be a good fit.
Yeah, but I mean, Houston's also hot. Hot. All right.
Well, Dallas is too, but Dallas is more of a hockey community.
Yeah, humidity's not as bad there, though. It's better for the ice. Roosh put it his favorite moment on sports. This is the idea behind this. Best sports moment in Houston sports history, kind of moment, play. I went more play. Top Houston play in Houston pro sports history. I have a top five for you.
Okay.
You guys can, you know, pick this apart. Okay. So top five greatest plays in Houston pro sports history. Here's my honorable mention. This doesn't crack the top. It was close. I was on the fence. But here was an honorable mention that I had.
Two on, two out. 10th inning. That's in the air to left. Here comes Fisher. Throw by Ethier. Astros win it in 10.
That was the Bregman Game 5 walk-off. An honorable mention didn't crack my top five because that bum took his bum to Boston. Bregman's dead to me. So honorable mention not in the top five. Number five, Jose Altuve. Big time. Altuve, bomb off Aroldis. So that's my number five. Here's my number four moment in Houston sports pro history.
Draxler puts the ball on Anderson. Draxler with the finger roll, the tip by Ogeron. The Rockets lead 0.3 seconds remaining and a timeout.
Game one, of course, 94-95 NBA Finals after Nick the Brick Anderson missed four free throws. Kenny Smith hit the three to send it to overtime, and then it came one on the Drexler mix. Miss. Number three.
All right, Starks. Rockets do not want to foul. Starks for three came up short. And Jaco Battle indicating the game is over, and it will go to a seventh and decisive game on Wednesday.
Sounded like Marv Albert kind of botched the call.
Both
but Akeem blocked the John Starks shot in game six that would have won it for the Knicks. Forced the game seven. Rockets won game seven, first NBA title. Number two moment.
On a 2-1, Alvarez hits a high drive center field. Beer leans back. This game is turned upside down.
Yordan, Delta Airline, that game where the Astros won the second World Series in franchise history. And then this is my number one moment.
Here's a ground ball right side. Could do it. The Houston Astros are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
So those are my five. Altuve walk-off, number five against Chapman, sent the Astros to the 22 World Series. Hakeem's tip-in against Orlando, my number four, game one of the NBA Finals on their second of their back-to-back. Hakeem blocking Stark's shot in game six, forcing the game seven. They won. Yordan's go-ahead homer against Philadelphia, eventually winning that game six against the Phillies. And then the Astros' final play, clinching their first-ever World Series title. Where did I go wrong?
I would flip your one and two.
Really?
Just because, I mean, they both, I mean, Yordan technically obviously wasn't a walk-off, but it was the go-ahead margin. And the, like, I guess the first is always the best. Like, maybe that's the logic
that's
here.
That's why I did it, yes.
Yeah,
but the momentous occasion of Yordan hitting a ball further than we've ever seen versus a ground out to second base.
How much ball do you watch?
It was okay. Maybe Sammy Sosa hit a ball further there at Minute Maid Park a long, long time ago. But I mean, the Yordan, the majestic nature of the Yordan bomb versus a ground out to second base. I'm going to go Yordan.
I think the situation matters too. To me, I almost would have put the Akeem block higher simply because without that, I'm not. You know, they. I mean, they have to survive to get to the game seven. That Akeem block was pretty monumental. I don't know if there could have been another out. I understand why you put number one just being the ground out because it was the first world championship in the city of Houston in baseball. And the honorable mention for me is the Yordan shot against the Mariners where it looked like they were going to lose, and he just absolutely turned that whole thing around for them to beat the Mariners, end up beating the Mariners in that series. But yeah, otherwise, I think the list is pretty solid.
Yeah, honorable mention, I'm fine with that one. Yeah. To me, it doesn't crack the top five, though.
No, I don't think it does, but I think it definitely is right there with the Bregman in terms of the magnitude and the situation.
All right, what's wrong with this list? What would you add to this list? What are honorable mentions that should be mentioned in this list but maybe don't make the top five? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, what belongs on this list? You have some honorable mentions, Brian?
Yeah, I had a few. It was more, I decided to take some of your moments and maybe highlight some of the, I guess, unheralded, more forgotten moments that kind of led up to the moments that you had. But one of them you mentioned in your call, or not your call, but your setup there of Akeem, but Kenny Smith in game one against the Magic, the tying three with just, I believe, 2 seconds left when he hit it, was at the time an NBA record for threes hitting the game. But this shot to send the game to overtime, overcoming what? It was about 20, 22-point deficit at one point. I don't think we can overlook Kenny Smith.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it in the top five, though.
You got the call.
Smith looking for the three.
Marv is terrible.
That is an NBA Finals record for Kenny Smith. That's his seventh from downtown.
God, Marv, tell me you don't care or don't like the Rockets. All three of the calls on that one and the two on Jeremy's list sucked.
Yeah, they weren't very good. Marv Albert's not very good.
You saying that, Brian, just made me forget one that should be on the list.
Should be in the top five?
Yeah.
You're going to say Mario Elie?
I am.
See, I can't put it in the top five because it was a Western Conference semifinal.
Still, it was huge. It was game seven. It won the game, and it gave you a chance.
But was it bigger than the Jose Altuve walk-off that sent the Astros to the World Series?
No, but yet similar in the fact that they don't I mean, they might lose that game, just like Altuve. You might lose that game. I just that Mario kiss of death shot to me might be – it might be one of the – in people's minds in this city, it might be the biggest shot ever made in basketball in Rockets history.
Is it bigger than the Akeem block against Starks?
I think from people's perspective of the of like the finality and the excitement of it, I think it holds more weight.
I can't do that.
I think the pose is what holds the nostalgia for people. Like, without Mario Elie, like,
it won the series, you still had to go back and win game seven.
I know, but if Mario doesn't look over and actually do the kiss of death, what Suns player was it? I forget.
It was Joe Klein.
Yeah, you're right. So without him going out, looking over and giving Joe Klein the kiss, I don't think we're having the conversation of it being top five. It's still obviously a very memorable moment.
Sure.
But the kiss of death for Mario after the shot is what made it iconic.
Whenever you're talking about like the greatest of things, you start to kind of put down other great things where it makes it seem like you're talking bad about. Obviously, the kiss of death was one of the greatest moments in Houston sports history. I just don't think it's one of the top five moments.
Yeah, I went
for
top
sports
five.
Yeah, I want to say that recently I saw somewhere someone was doing referred to it as the greatest. I don't know if it was the greatest moment, but I don't know how they put it, but as one of the greatest moments in Houston history.
I would agree it's one of the greatest moments. I wouldn't put it in my top five. And look, it's subjective.
It is.
What's top five for me is different for others. What else did you have, Brian? Kenny Smith?
You mentioned your honorable mention was Bregman, the walk-off in game five, but they don't get to that moment without this home run.
Second and third, one out.
I don't think it can be undersold that moment. They're down 4-1 facing Kershaw, one of the best pitchers in the game. They lose that game. They go back to LA down 3-2, and Yuli just absolutely crushes a pitch that I don't think made it to the train tracks, but felt like it was damn close. And it's a completely different ballgame at that point. I know I was at the moment when they were down 4-1, Kershaw on the mound. I'm already kind of like, oh my God, like, are they going to be able to pull this out? And Yuli just with the flip of a switch. You know, flips the game up and puts him right back in it.
Could put it in the top five, though.
No, this is my counter to other moments than yours.
It might not even be a top three moment from that game. Bregman's home run, Bregman's walk-off.
That's just the craziness of that game.
Altuve's home run in that game.
Is that the one off of.
And then Springer's home run in that game might be higher.
I was thinking the Altuve one where they were again down two or three and he hit a three run bomb to turn it.
Was it left center?
I think so.
That was against the Dodgers.
What's the pitcher that's now with the Twins? Asian guy.
Why he gotta be Asian?
Because he is. I'm trying to remember his name.
Kenta Maeda.
Yeah, I think it was Maeda. He hit it off of Maeda, and I think it turned another like two or three run deficit into a tie game.
Yuli got in trouble in that series for.
Yes, he did. And now he's playing with
for a different Japanese pitcher.
Now he's his teammate.
Right. Understand.
Another one I had, game two of that same series, ninth inning, you're down a run facing Kittling Jansen, and Marwin Gonzalez does this.
Gonzalez hits one in the air into left center field, back at the wall, and it's gone! Tie game in the ninth, Marwin Gonzalez.
Now, I know Marwin's numbers were inflated that year for reasons. But, no one expected Marwin Gonzalez to hit a game-tying home run in the ninth inning against Kenley freaking Jansen, who was unbelievable that year. Obviously, he doesn't hit that home run. They might go back to Houston down 2-0. The series might be over.
That's a good one.
That might have been the most underrated great sports moment in Houston history.
Yep. And, again, for all the people that said what you said, Brian, about the possibility of cheating, they were on the road.
Right. So, yeah, I'm not saying in that Stadium, moment, but you know, obviously we obviously discount Marwin's season overall, but in that moment, obviously on the road, like you said.
There are some theories that the Astros might have been getting stuff on the road too.
Well, it wasn't the trash cans at least.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't hear it, at least. It doesn't come through.
You know, Oppo Taco off Kenley Jansen?
Yes. Crazy.
Like, power to the gap in left center, opposite field. Didn't realize you had that. Sorry, I wasn't familiar with your game.
Never had it again.
That was his career year.
Yeah. Got paid, though.
Was his career year. So those two, Kenny Marwin, Yuli.
Yeah, I got another one here. Carlos Correa. We have the 2019 Jose Altuve walk-off in Game 6, but people will forget they were down 1-0 to the Yankees. They lost Game 1 against the Yankees. They're in the 11th inning tie game, and then Carlos Correa does this.
Corey Blazer. Here's a fly ball into right. Back at the wall. This game is over.
And points at the watch, like Joel Mind there in the break. But I mean, they're down 1-0 in the series. It's in the extra innings. He hits the walk off. They don't win that game. They go back down, or they go to New York down 2-0. Remember the last time the previous time they faced him in the postseason, they lost all three games in New York. So who knows what happens in that series if Correa doesn't walk him off?
Correa was so clutch.
Yeah, that was a big one.
I love Correa. Correa hit that one.
He hit the one in the COVID year?
The opposite field, too. Right center field. Remember, he had a two-home run game against Kansas City in 15.
Yeah,
The DS.
Yeah.
I think that was in Game 4 where they should have won.
They should have won.
And then Tony Sipp got deflected. And then Correa probably didn't make a great play.
All of a sudden, the governor tweeted out, congratulations to the Astros, and it all unraveled.
I wonder if they would have won the World Series if they win that game.
And Royals did go on to win it.
Yeah, they were still baby Astros, but
they were. But they were really good.
I got one more. It's obviously not on the pantheon of what's come before, but I mostly wanted to highlight. You guys have crushed Marv Albert. I mostly wanted to highlight how awful this call is.
Batted down and intercepted. Intercepted by J.J. Watt. Touchdown, Houston.
Wow.
That is the J.J. Watt pick six against Cincinnati in the Texans' first ever playoff game. What an awful call. I think it was not Tom Papa. Greg Papa? I think it's something Papa. I'll have to look it up.
I'm hungry now.
They're like the mini version of the Albert family, the Papas.
Yeah, that was a brutal call. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I didn't remember the call being that bad. I was just looking up. I was curious to watch it. But yeah, what a brutal call for the Watt pick six.
They a lot of the Texters are saying that's the honorable mention and probably the greatest Texans moment, which I would agree.
It's the greatest Texans one. It's not in the level of what we've talked about so far.
No, though. It doesn't belong in the Houston Sports Top 5. But if you're looking for one Houston Texan biggest moment, it has to be
to be. Yeah, it has to be.
Some people might say, because we've had a few texts, the Texans win over the Cowboys in the first game of franchise history.
The Billy Miller touchdown?
Like, he was cool. Dallas and to win how many games did they win that year?
Four.
Like, really wasn't that big a deal.
No.
Like, it's cool. You get bragging rights, all of that. We're the new team in the NFL, and we're whooping up on the Cowboys. Cool. Cool moment. Nowhere near top five.
No.
Nowhere near the J.J. Watt interception. That was first playoff win.
Yeah. First playoff win.
That is definitely their moment, period.
No doubt. Who is this on the phone line here, Brian?
Looks like it is Angel.
Let's go to Angel. 713-780-ESPN. Angel, you're in the Hive. What's going on, Angel?
Hey, guys. I don't think this is going to be a top five in Houston sports history, but it is a memorable one, honorable one. I would say 2004 with Jeff Kent when he did that home run to win, I believe it was Game 5 in NLCS. And I think for me that was one of the most memorable ones that I can always go fall back on. So anyways, I wanted to get your opinion on that. Thanks. Bye.
That wasn't the 15 inning game against the Braves.
No, that was Kent hit a walk off in Game 5 of the 2004 NLDS. The problem was they then went on to lose both games in St. Louis.
He was coming across home plate going one more.
Yeah,
one more.
Oh, that's
they,
right.
They
that's
went up 3-2 in the series, and then they went bullpen game in Game 6. Got walked off because Trevor Miller gave up just an absolute blast to Jim Edmonds, and then they lost Game 7.
Chris, from Tennessee, the second base.
Chris Burke was 2005
in 18
innings. 18
game. That was the long game. Yep.
713-780-ESPN. Who belongs in the top five? What plays belong in the honorable mention? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You found the killer bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Two balls and no strikes. Fly ball way back into left center field and back up into that wall. No, it crashes back off the wall. Costas is headed.
It's a homer.
It's a homer.
It's gone.
It's a homer. A delayed ball. It came back on the facade. You thought it was in play.
Oh, my gosh.
Home run, Osmus. 6-6 at Minute Maid Park.
Is that Kerry Leitenberg?
I don't remember the pitcher, but that was kind of in the vein of the unexpected moment, like Marwin Gonzalez in Game 2 of the 2017 World Series. Brad Osmus tying up what would eventually end in the Chris Burke walk-off in 18 innings was as improbable as it gets.
You remember the underrated play in that game earlier than that?
You talking about Lance Berkman's grand slam?
Opposite field, grand slam into the boxes?
Yeah, I almost thought about pulling that one as well, but just the unexpected nature of Brad Osmus, of all people, hitting the game-tying home run in the ninth was pretty crazy.
Yeah. They say he was so strong, though.
He was pretty strong.
Brad Osmus, Jake Marisnik on the Mount Rushmore of favorite Astros among the woman demographic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was popular amongst the female demographic.
I think Ezekiel Eustachio right next to those two.
I don't think so.
They always say that. The ladies that are Astro fans, they say, can you name the most handsome Astros of all time? It's always Osmus, Marisnik, Ezekiel Eustachio.
I don't think that's accurate.
Why wouldn't be Ezekiel Eustachio be on this list?
He was about as pretty as his fastball was effective.
Not sure what that means. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Melvin, you're in the Hive. What's up, Melvin?
Hey, I'm an old head guy, so I'm going to reach way, way back. I got Vernon Perry, San Diego Chargers. I mean, it was Dan Fouts, interceptions, and then Billy Hatcher's run. What about him?
Yeah.
Billy Hatcher was in 86?
That was the Met series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 1 year old. I actually 1 year old. Uncle Barney took me to that game.
Was that right?
I was 1 year old. Uncle Barney took me to that game, but obviously I don't remember anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the old rainbow uniforms. Yeah, Billy Hatcher.
Mike Scott was ready to go for Game 7. They win there. They win the World Series. Mike Scott, ready to go. Those are good ones, Melvin. Appreciate the call. San Antonio Tim says, I was at every Rocket home game in 94. Sick flex. He said, I would rank Maxwell's three-pointer in Game 7 ahead of Akeem's block of Starks. I thought about that one. Of course, hit the big three, up eight with like a minute and a half to play. Riley took a timeout. Maxwell leaped in the air with a big fist pump.
Yep.
And Kenny Smith ran into him too. That one's pretty big. I did think about that one. Definitely honorable mention. I don't think it cracks the top five though. Obviously, I don't think that. But pretty close.
Yeah. No, I mean, and again, a lot of times too, because we're talking about plays that have the magnitude, because a play, again, that's just going to stick in Houstonians' history forever is the Dream Shake. The Dream Shake on David Robinson in the playoffs after Robinson got the MVP. People, that just is that's one of those that they're always going to, you know, put it very highly.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't crack, like, I have a bias for the stakes, like, as
I
you can tell.
I totally understand.
So my top five is heavily biased towards the stake of the game. Final out of winning the World Series in Astro history. Yordan's homer, which gave you the go-ahead run in Game 6 of your second World Series. Basketball's a little weird because you don't have, like, that one signature play that, like, clinches the game.
Sometimes, Akeem's block, aside kinda. From a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I mean, these
right,
two were, right? Akeem's block clinched you the Game 6. Akeem's tip in against the Magic clinched you Game 1. But, like, the Maxwell one wasn't a clincher.
Right.
Put you 8 with, like, a minute and a half to play. Ellie's was a clincher.
But still had time on the clock.
Suns had a chance. And then also, you know, it was Western Conference semifinal
game. Right.
So I probably discredited a little bit. The Altuve walk-off home run. Big moment, wins you the game in that spot. So just kind of my line of thinking. A lot of people are saying the Earl Campbell Monday Night Football game.
That's the one where his jersey got ripped off. Yeah.
But that was a regular season
game.
It was. Like, one of the bigger moments in Houston Oiler history, but Houston sports history, a regular season game on Monday night?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe only because football hasn't had a Super Bowl or a conference championship game, so maybe that's why it carries more weight. But yeah, on a regular season game, I don't think so. I don't think we're remembering any regular season walk-off home runs or game-winning shots in Rockets and Astros history.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wasn't alive then, so maybe that influences my judgment here a little bit as well. A bunch of textures are talking about the Chaz catch. For me, the plays that stand out, Chaz catch, Yordan Homer versus Alvarado, Mancini's catch after the Yuli injury, Pena homer in the 18 inning game. See, that was a divisional round. That was the divisional round, and it was, you were up 2-0 in that series too.
Yeah, that was, remember, because I always said that was the doesn't that labeled as the toughest sweep?
I think you labeled that, but I would agree.
Yeah, it's like the toughest sweep in, I always said it was the toughest sweep in whatever playoff history.
Yeah.
The fact that you swept them and every game was a one-run game with extra inning games and unbelievable pitching and all that stress and pressure, that was pretty fun to watch.
Chaz catches up there. Mancini belongs definitely in the conversation. Mauro Ellie with the kiss. Texans inaugural game win. No, not top five for me. A lot of people wouldn't have that. TGIF closed, says a texter, Brian. The Earl Campbell Monday Night Football, 4 touchdowns.
I don't recall what year it was, but the Ralph Sampson turnaround against the Lakers to win that series where Foley and 86. Peterson
86,
went.
Right?
86.
Yeah. I wasn't here yet. But my God, those two guys, that call, you want to talk about the other end of the spectrum.
Well, just talk
just
about
blowing out the radio.
Like how improbable was. There was only, I think it was less than a second left. It was literally, he didn't really have time to like set.
No, he
shoot.
Caught it,
it was like
his back to the basket, turned in one motion and flicked it.
It was more than a tip, but it was barely even like a catch and shoot. It was so quick.
You forgot the Pujols home run against Lidge. No, I didn't forget about that. That's ingrained into a core memory.
Should we say the Davis Mills touchdown pass in week 18 because it got you CJ Stroud?
Texter said that.
Okay.
But Bryce Young had a better year than CJ did this year.
Better second half.
I'm just kidding. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line again. Larry in Stafford, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, man. What about, I know it was the second round, the first round, which round, whatever, but the Rockets come back down from 3-1 to game 6. I feel like everyone knows where they were when they came back. You remember they benched James Harden, Kevin McHale benched James Harden and Corey Brewer and Josh Smith and a bunch of other players. They just got hot, man. And I know it's a whole game. It's not really a play. Well, it was actually a second half. But, you know, I don't know what y'all think about that one.
It's tough to say that one. It was a moment because I thought about it in terms of great moments in sports history in the city of Houston, coming back from 24 down to win that. I know where I was.
Where were you?
Courtside.
Yeah, I didn't love that Rocket team. I didn't appreciate the call, Stafford. But that was a big time victory. You're coming back from 3-1, it was a 20-point deficit,
24.
And then you came from behind without Harden, your best player.
Well, and then that's what McHale says got him fired, because he wanted to come back in the game, and McHale wouldn't put him back in the game. Said these are the guys that got me here. I'm riding with them, and they rode it out for a win.
Chris Burke says a texter. That was a big time.
The one I mentioned. Yeah,
that was big time. 18 inning walk up. The problem with that one for me, and why I would nitpick, not in the top five, that was division series. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a divisional series game. I can't put that ahead of some of these big moments, like World Series moments, LCS moments. A bunch of people saying Yordan Alvarez should be number one. Had it two. Had the final out of the 17 World Series one just because of, you know, first to market. T-Mac 13-35. That was big time. Regular season,
that was another
big time.
Yep. Yeah, that was one that sticks with a lot of Rockets fans forever.
Old school moment, Ralph Sampson's last second shot to beat the Lakers. What was that series? Was it 2-0 though?
Well, that clinched the series, and that was a Lakers team that I believe was favored to possibly win it all. That was Magic and Kareem, and that was a really good Lakers team.
I think the Rockets like won that series with ease though.
That clinched it. That won the series.
No, it was a clincher for sure, but I don't think it was like a game 5. I think they swept. No, they won 4-1. It was game 5 of the series. They won 4-1. So it was game 5
of a 7-game
series. I mean, big time. You win the series, didn't you there? But it wasn't a game 7, you know, if that matters into your calculus when having this conversation.
I just think that the Lakers were favored in that series going
into
it.
I'm sure they were.
Yeah,
I'm sure they were. The guy that caught Burke's homer was also the guy who caught Berkman's grand slam. I forgot about that.
Is that true?
I do remember that now, yeah.
Man.
I had forgotten about that. Where does the Chaz McCormick catch rank? Not in my top five,
no.
But now that people mention it, it would be top 10.
It's honorable mention, for sure.
I think it'd be top 10.
Yeah, it was big.
Watson escape against the Bills in the wild card game. That was a big time play.
But he didn't play well in that game.
No, he didn't. He had a good fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It might be top 5 Texans moment, but probably not even top 20 Houston moment.
Agreed.
somewhere in that. Andre Johnson beating the brakes off of Cortland Finnegan. That's a top three Texans moment.
Well, that's also one of those that is engraved in sports history in Houston, whether it was a game changer or not. That's one that everyone will. It's like all the pictures of the Nolan
shirts.
Nolan with all the blood over after he punched Robin Ventura. That
wasn't Ventura. That was a different fight. Robin Ventura didn't make him bleed. Brian, we talked about this before,
I think,
right?
We have talked about it before.
It was who was the fight that he got into that got busted open? It wasn't...
Yeah, it wasn't Ventura. Ventura didn't really touch him all that much.
Didn't he beat up Ventura when he charged the mound?
Yeah, he did, but wasn't... That
no,
was,
I know you guys corrected me.
That was with the Rangers, though, so we couldn't put it on this list.
No, I understand that. I'm saying just like indelible memories with one picture. It's the Nolan picture. It's the Andre Johnson punching Cortland
Finnegan.
It was
Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson gave Ryan the bloody lip. Oh. I saw a video today where Dave Winfield and Nolan Ryan got into a fight. That was pretty good.
Those are some big human beings.
Yeah, yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Some people are saying the T.J. Yates went over Cincinnati. That's a game, though. Like, that's not one specific moment.
Did Nolan challenge Bo Jackson?
Well, there was a specific moment in that game because he had the touchdown pass to Kevin Walter. That was the winner. And then clinched them their first ever playoff berth. So, I mean, it's in the Texans conversation, but it wouldn't make, a top five list of all Houston sports.
Never forget the Texans blowing the lead to the Chiefs in the playoffs. Come on, man. The worst. Okay, we're not doing worst right now. No. We're in a good mood on a Thursday.
Can we put best moments when Bill O'Brien was fired? Could that be a top Houston moment?
Yes.
Texter says Comets fourth championship in a row. That's a good call. Oh, Nolan took a line drive to the mouth. I think it was a Bo Jackson liner. Okay. That's right. Honorable mention, MLS Cup, Dynamo inaugural season, Brian Ching tying it on the kickoff after going down late in overtime.
Speaking of
most
which,
dramatic sporting moment in Houston sports history.
One of the players on that team, Dwayne D. Rosario, will be on Soccer Matters tonight.
There you go. Thursday night Soccer Matters.
There you go.
TJ Yates helicopter fumble. That wasn't Yates, was it?
No, that was Sage Rosenfels.
Sage Rosenfels. Yep. Ken Giles beating up Ken Giles. Oh, that's a good one. Firing Easterby. Not a play, though. That wasn't a play. Like, firing Easterby, not a play.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
That could be a play. Top five Houston sports moments. Romo putting JJ in the spin cycle. LOL. I must be a Cowboy fan. How many Super Bowls have the Cowboys won in the last 30 years? Vernon Maxwell, kiss of death. Eddie Johnson, three at the buzzer. Those are all big time.
Yeah, Eddie Johnson was big time. But, again, we lost the series to Utah, so it sucked.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big-time sports moment. Not top five, though, I don't think. The play during the last game of the 22 season that caused us to win the game but lost us the first pick. Brian mentioned that one earlier. Pick six in the playoffs from Watt. Kiss of death, the biggest shot in Rockets history. Agree, disagree. Chaz catch. Listening to this makes me want Joe Buck back in the postseason. Buck's calling opening day for ESPN.
He is.
Baseball.
I had that exact thought as I was going through the highlights thing. I think we underrated Joe Buck when he was calling baseball.
Well, just based on how I didn't realize how bad for a legendary voice of broadcasting, how bad Marv Albert's big calls were.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Awful.
It wasn't great. Dusty Baker telling Joe Kelly off. That was pretty funny. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Slow-mo, what you got?
Ralph Sampson, buzzer beater in the form versus the Lakers. And the most terrible moment was Jacoby Jones muffed.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah. Return.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
What was the first one?
The Ralph Sampson.
Right, he said Ralph Sampson.
Game five in the forum, the old forum.
Yep.
If we did a different list of most cursed Houston careers, Ralph Sampson would be on that list.
Boy, his knees, man. Because he was unbelievably athletic. You know, at one point, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in the article at Virginia. He was the only guy, football team included, he was the only guy that could curl 90-pound dumbbells in the weight room. He was strong for a skinny dude.
Man, they got Sleepy Floyd, though. They got Sleepy Floyd for old Ralph Sampson.
Yeah, with Golden State.
Love Sleepy Floyd.
It's a great nickname.
It's a great player, Sleepy.
He was all right.
You didn't like Sleepy Floyd?
He was all right.
Andre Ware, video of winning
Preferred
the
Preferred Carlos Herrera.
Go Cougs. I like that old Carlos Herrera. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to our car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at getting your hair back. He does so many things so well. He's here in the Houston Med Center. If you need anything from spa treatments, Botox, plastic surgery, he's got it all. He does it all. He does it phenomenally well, all here in the Med Center. But the one that I have personal experience with is the NeoGraft procedure and PRP treatments to get your hair back. Basically, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com if you're interested in getting more information. Sign up for a free consultation. It costs you absolutely nothing out of pocket. People off the street, costs $150. You listen to us, want to talk to him, it's absolutely free. You don't have to sign on a dotted line. They'll pull out the checkbook or credit card. Nothing to pay for, just a Q&A session after they explain to you how the PRP treatments work and how the NeoGraft procedure can make a huge difference. The really big cliff note here is that you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. So he takes some of that hair, repurposes it like if you were resodding your lawn, puts it where you are lacking hair and you need hair growth, and in no time at all, that hair is growing, it's stronger, it's getting longer, it's going to be there for the rest of your life, and you have it because of Doc Linville. Check it out today. Go to 975hair.com and sign up for that free consultation. Let them explain it to you, show you the before and after pictures, and talk to guys like me and John Granato who've done the procedure and can't stop talking about how great it is because it works. It's not the sprays and the creams and the foams that don't. It's a procedure that actually does, and the PRP treatments that can make it even better. Check it out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick! Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Did you say Carlos Herrera, or did you say Carl Herrera?
I said Carlos Herrera.
You said Carlos?
Oh, is it Carl Herrera? My bad.
It's kind of racist.
Not a little. Amigo?
It actually is.
He thought he's like always Herrera. His name must be Carlos. That's messed up, Ryan.
That's exactly what happened.
And I'm Mexican.
Carl Herrera, Rockets legend.
Pretty sure he's been his way.
U of H guy.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
Well, you're not listening very well today. That's my first car wreck of the day. That's twice.
Oh, I thought you said
UH right away.
I said Goku's.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't hear it.
And I winked at him. I didn't realize he said Carlos, though.
I did say Carlos. That's on me.
The most racist thing that has been said on this show this week. Probably not at the station.
Maybe just by us. Others that
tune in 7
the show.
But on the others that participate in the show.
What happened?
I mean, the people that
text us. Yeah, very racist of you, Brian, calling him Carlos Herrera.
All right, well, I guess car wreck of the day nominee.
You're a car wreck of the day for that. Blanker's car wreck of the day for not listening. And this texter's a car wreck of the day for being a creep. When Verlander was pinching and we clinched the playoffs, Kate Upton walked in front of me. You're a creep.
You've got no chance with her, man. Let it go.
Car wreck of the day there. All right, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day, Blankers?
Check this one out, boys. Little podcast with Jason Richardson, former teammate of Shaq and Lou Amundsen when they were with the Suns, that Shaq once pulled Lou's mouthpiece and toothbrush out of his locker and put the mouthpiece in his rear end in front of the team and then stirred his rear end with the toothbrush, then put them back in Lou's locker. And then the entire team watched as Amundsen unknowingly used the mouthpiece in a game and then brushed his teeth after the game.
That's just building good locker room morale. That's how you build camaraderie and chemistry.
Matt Barnes came to Amundsen after the game to let him know and said, anything in your locker has probably been in Shaq's butt. Throw it out.
Do you think he said butt?
He did not. I should verify that from the book.
I just can't imagine Matt Barnes saying the word butt.
No.
Very true.
No.
Oh man, that's just good for team morale. That's how a team gets
stories.
Closer together.
Well, I mean, this is the same guy that used to rap Kobe, "Tell me how my bleep tastes."
Yes.
He's just trying to give people an idea of how his butt tastes.
We didn't realize how literal.
Yeah, it was very literal.
I have heard stories that other rookie orientation would be if he would like take a shower before the game, and if a rookie was walking around the locker room completely naked, he would put them in a complete wrestling hold and roll around on the locker room floor with him.
What, he put him in the figure four?
Whatever you call it. But there was a figure that was naked involved.
He's a weird guy. But Shaq, kind of weird dude. Luka Doncic. Terrible game for the Lakers. They lost to the Hornets yesterday. Hornets are 14-39 after the win. Luka's line, 14 points. 5-for-18 shooting, 1-for-9 from 3, 6 turnovers, and down the stretch, the Hornets were hunting him on defense. Pick and roll, get a matchup they wanted, and time And time again, the ball handler, whoever it was just blowing right by Luka every single time.
Yeah, to the
Nico
point,
Harrison's a genius.
To the point, J.J. Redick was taking him out of the game as a defensive sub.
He did have five fouls, but...
You see offensively, too, that when we had the question who was going to handle the ball, all LeBron. And Luka, when he didn't have the ball, just kind of checked out by midcourt.
You can't give a player that only plays one side of the floor a supermax.
Well, he's not going to get it now.
He can't do it now.
He literally cannot get it now. So.
I think it was smart by Nico. No, I might not like the return.
You go to victory lap it?
One game in.
Two.
Yeah.
He played at least one game before the break.
First game post the break. I'm telling you, his defense is lousy. All right, what are you nominating, Brian?
I'm going to nominate us having a conversation about whether or not TGF Fridays is still open.
No, it should be you.
You should get nominated for that and the Saturday primetime slot for Saturday Night Live as opposed to Sunday.
No, I stand by that. It was a smart decision to put it on Sunday night. But, yeah, the fact that either I'm wrong and have thought it's been open this whole time or literally the entire text line is telling me I'm wrong. One of us is going to be a car wreck of the day of the nominee, but the whole TGF Fridays isn't still open conversation. It's my car wreck of the day nominee.
There's like half a dozen people that said it's not
I know.
Open.
One of us, somebody's going to be wrong. It's going to be embarrassing.
It's going to be you.
Probably. It's trending that way.
What did you used to order at TGI Fridays? Do you remember?
Probably the potato skins.
I would get. I think I got the app sampler.
Yeah.
Potato skins. Like their cheese sticks, I want to say, were rectangular or skinny fat.
Like anytime I went to a place like that or like Bennigan's way back in the day, I always used to go with like some sort of appetizer
sampler. I remember
sampler.
The potato skins.
I would get the Monte Cristo. Was it Monte Cristo? Monte Cristo.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I would get that at Bennigan's. Monte Cristo at Bennigan's was good.
I miss Bennigan's.
I do too. Nostalgic, but... Yeah,
there was the one right by the Summit.
Oh, really? What were you doing at the Summit?
It was a very, very popular spot back in the day.
You live near there?
Or? Yeah, worked there.
Car wreck of the day. Car wreck of the day is Branham's take on Saturday Night Live being on Sunday. I think it's a great take, and multiple people on the text line agreed with me. It's like playing Monday Night Football on a Wednesday.
Well, they have played Monday Night Football on different days.
Never on a Wednesday.
Never on a Wednesday, but they have played it on different days.
Carrying of the day says Josh from Seabrook is the Paul Tyson fight. In a recent interview, Jake Paul basically or casually put it out there that Mike Tyson had Parkinson's.
What? Well, I would explain why he took it so easy on him, but...
What's next? Jake Paul is going to fight Michael J. Fox?
Oh.
Maybe Joe Biden. Joe Biden's needs something to do now. He's out of office.
Was that callous of me?
Nah.
Do you remember the?
I think Michael J. Fox jokes are fine.
You remember the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode with Michael J. Fox?
Of course.
Oh my goodness.
About the shaking.
Oh my goodness. Like if you've ever been uncomfortable with like a little bit of uncomfortable comedy,
that's part of why I'm okay with making the joke because Michael made the joke himself.
He's gonna be Michael J. up. That might be one of my favorite episodes of Curb. Somebody just said it's still open. I just went by the one on Beltway East. We got some controversy.
Well, we're talking about a different one, though. I'm talking about the one on 59 near or across the street from Deerbrook Mall.
Soccer Matters, four-time MLS champion Dwayne Rosario coming up at 6. Athletically declined at 7. And then Hall of Fame with Brad Gilmore and Booker T at 9 o'clock. I always thought that William Regal was the better King of the Ring. What's winning car wreck of the day?
I'd lean Shaq.
Yeah, putting a toothbrush up there is pretty
and
bad.
And a mouthpiece. And letting the guy put it in his mouth.
Yeah, we'll give it to Shaq. Shaq, you're the winner. Thank you to Brian. Mostly good work. He's blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis, right now on ESPN 97.5. Goodbye.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.